and do roll call.
Debbie Arnold.
I'm here.
Sheila Blake. Charles Verbeau.
Here.
Karen Bright. Lynn Compton.
I'm here.
Robert Enns. Bruce Gibson. John Hammond.
Here.
Jeff Heller.
Here.
Adam Hill.
Adam Hill is not here. This is his legislative assistant, Nicole Nix. I'm aware I can't vote, but I'll be listening in.
Thank you. John Pishong.
Here.
Keith Storton.
Here.
Aaron Gomez.
I'm here.
I see that we have some people on the meeting. Their names are on the screen, but I did not get them on roll call. Karen Bright. Okay. Bruce Gibson. We have
are there microphone issues?
It looks like Karen Bright does not have audio connected. I don't see a microphone next to her name.
Right. We have eight. We have a quorum.
Okay. Well, ideally, it would still be if they're on there, but they can't do audio, somebody needs to contact them to figure that out, I would assume. Otherwise, they're just going to be listening in without an ability to vote.
Bruce Gibson is, I see Bruce Gibson there.
Here.
So currently, we just have one person that can't get audio, correct?
Karen Bright.
Okay, well, I can move on to public comments for items not on the agenda if somebody does want to reach out to Karen and let her know that there is no audio.
Oh, okay. We have, it looks like, about 14 members in attendance. Or public members of the public in attendance. And at this time, we'll be doing public comment for items not on the agenda. So if you would like to do public comment, please press *9 if you're on the phone, or raise your hand using the little raise hand feature in the app or on the browser. And we'll call on you for your 3 minutes of public comment. Or this is for items not on the agenda. And I'll give you just a moment to raise your hand. But I'm not seeing any raised hands at this time.
Okay. Then we can move on to the executive director's report.
Okay, good afternoon, everyone. I just want to point out that we did have several public comments that came in, and since this is an unusual format for us, we did try to have everything posted to our website that came in before 9 a.m. I think most of these probably came to your emails, but just in case, you can see these. And then ones that came after 9 p.m. will be posted later this afternoon, but if you didn't get them, you're going to have them all online at some point later today. And then also point out that the March 23rd special meeting was not notified via the people that had contacted us to receive notifications about meetings. Now, we did post it legally on that. We have about 95 people who had enrolled with our email notification system, and we were not aware that if we made a change to our website, that it would not automatically send those updates. We had to go in and tell it to do that. So we've since corrected the problem, but the point is that for the March 23rd meeting, the public that had subscribed for our notifications did not receive them, so they were not able to make public comment. So that's going to relate back to an item on the regular agenda later. And then right now I'd like to introduce Rob Hilton and Morgan McCarthy. They're with HF&H, and they're our strategic planning consultant, and they were going to talk a little bit about 1383 on that, and then how to proceed forward under strategic plan with the COVID-19 issues. So I'm going to turn over the screen sharing, or turn my screen sharing off, and go to Rob at this point.
Good afternoon, board. Sorry, I just had to unmute myself there as I became a panelist. Brooks has asked me to give you a couple of updates today, one related to the status of SB 1383 regulations as they're making their way through the regulatory process, and the other an update on our strategic planning effort with you guys and how those two things come together. So I'll start with the status on 1383. There's a revised draft of the regulations that is out for public comment right now. They made very minor changes, mostly to their documentation in the administrative record, and some minor cleanup things that didn't have substantive effect, but that were identified by Office of Administrative Law for correction. The only thing that was really substantive in the changes related to the clarification that if a customer contaminates a container, places a wrong material in a wrong container, the agencies are not required to assess financial penalties, that other remedies could be used. And so this is a bit in response to all of our requests to allow local agencies to accomplish the goals in ways that make sense locally and to tailor those things. So I think that's a good change in our favor. But again, it's not going to have a material impact on level of effort required to implement 1383 or the specific things that we'll be doing in your planning effort. Because of these delays, they're now planning on resubmitting sometime in June to Office of Administrative Law. They have a 30-day timeline for their review. Assuming that they don't kick it back again, the regulations would become final drafts in July. There is no change to the implementation date. We're still looking at the January 1, 2022 implementation date for that. Couple of notes, and Brooks is aware of these from the work that he does on the SWANA local or legislative task force, but there's a couple of different things stirring in the industry and at local government for some fixes to 1383 at the legislative level. The one that's getting the most traction right now would add a good faith effort provision into the regulations so that if agencies are doing their best to implement these things, but there are things that are coming up that are impeding their ability to implement programs, that they would be granted a good faith effort and wouldn't be subject to fines from CalRecycle if they were doing those things and continuing to act in good faith. There's a state assembly person down in Southern California that is interested in carrying that bill that hasn't been drafted or introduced at this point, in part because, as you're probably aware, the state legislature's focused on other things right now and isn't really taking up items like this. The other item that's out there related to 1383 is the potential to delay the start date from January of 22 to some later date. As you can imagine, the impacts of 1383 on many of the small businesses that are also being impacted by COVID are creating some alarm for people, and there's interest in potentially delaying that implementation date. Neither of those efforts are bills at this point. Neither of those efforts would eliminate the requirements of the law, and I'm not aware of anything out there that's stirring to just eliminate this rule entirely. So I think it's still important to remember we're about 19 months away from that current targeted implementation date, and there's a significant lift for your agencies and for your haulers and for your generators. So that's 1383. I'll shift over to the other item, which is the status of our strategic planning effort. As you're all aware, we placed the strategic planning workshop on hold when the shelter in place orders were issued. That process has played out. We've been delayed now a couple of months, but we're hopeful that we can get a meeting together in place of your normally scheduled July 8th board meeting. It is our strong desire to have that meeting in person. As we discussed with many of you when we had our interviews, we think it's important to get this stuff out on the table while we're looking at each other, and really sort of work through the small number of issues where there's difference of opinion. One of the primary findings that we can share with you now from our interviews with all of you is there is broad consensus about the things that the authority is doing and the programs, and by and large, there's support for how things are being done. It seems that there's one major difference of opinion, and that's around how policy gets implemented. And so we feel, because of how much support there is and how this one issue has come up, that it's really useful to all be in the room together. And we're a little bit concerned that with the technology issues that you tend to have with a virtual meeting, that there may be periods where somebody doesn't understand somebody else, or things get miscommunicated because of lag issues or something like that. So our hope is that you'll let us have this meeting in person on July 8th, that we'll find a place where we can be appropriately distanced in the room, but that we can all be there with each other for that. So that's the strategic planning retreat, and we'll work on scheduling that and getting a location for it that's appropriate. The other item that we reported to you guys on last time that relates to our strategic planning is the analysis that we're doing. And so part of the strategic planning process is working with you to develop the mission and vision and values of the organization and sort of the direction of the organization. The second piece is the strategic plan, sort of the tactical elements of that. What will staff be doing? And we needed good data to underpin that analysis. And when I reported to you last, we had not gotten that data. It had been difficult to get. Thank you to Patty for her persistence, and to your haulers. A number of requests were made. Some information was provided back through CalRecycle that now allows us to do that analysis and to present to you at the strategic planning workshop some objective information about how things are going. It also allows us to move forward into the quantification of what is 1383 going to take your agencies, your haulers, your processors, your landfills in terms of cost. What is the rate impact of this to your customers? What's the staffing requirements that are going to be needed by your agencies or by the authority? So we'll be able to begin our work on that now. And while we won't have the results of that for you at the July 8th meeting, we should have it to you when we come to you in the fall for the second follow-up meeting. So that's my report, and I will turn it back over to Brooks, and I'm available for any questions you guys have.
Okay, I have a quick question regarding the July 8th meeting. So just to make the board aware, if we take up that space of the July meeting, we normally schedule about 2 hours for this meeting, and we would need to extend that to about 4 hours. So would any of the board members, would they know that they would not be able to make the July 8th meeting if it was a little bit longer day, longer afternoon?
Hammond has no problem.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we will move forward with that date at this point, and we'll try to search for a venue.
Sounds good.
Okay, any other questions for Rob before we let him go? All right. Thank you, Rob. We appreciate it.
Thanks, all.
All right, so let's move on to the consent agenda. Does anybody have any?
Excuse me, Aaron.
Do you have more?
Yeah. Yes, we have a few more updates now. That was just Rob's slice there. So I want to let the board know. Is it okay to go on?
Yeah, of course. Okay. There's a lot of delay going on, so I didn't know what you were doing.
Okay, sorry about that. The HHW sites, we voted to close those in March because we considered them somewhat non-essential, And so since then, they've been allowed to reopen. So all of them have reopened except for Morro Bay. And again, that's at the city's wastewater treatment plant. And they have concerns about there may be COVID in their open top processing systems, and maybe that could infect customers who come in. So we're asking them to open it as soon as they can, or allow us to open it as you can, but the rest of them are open. And then we wanted to give you our typical quarterly update on one of the programs we do, and this month it is on the public education and outreach. And just to show you, highlight a few things on this slide. So our website traffic is just doing great. We have 168,000 views, and that's basically based on population, 1.5 views for every household, or 60% of all county residents. And I think this is primarily due to the fact that you had invested or allowed us to use consultants to help with some of the social media and outreach. And so that has been a really good push, and we're seeing the results. And then also highlight that 52% of the websites are coming, their website visits are coming from people using their cell phone. So it's something they're doing their normally daily routine, and they're carrying it around with them or thinking of it while they're on their phone. And we're giving an average hit of 2 minutes apiece. So there's a lot of interest in our website. And then point out here some of our top hits and some of the searches. And I'd mostly like to draw your attention to the right-hand side there, that the top two searches when people look for us has IWMA in the title. In other words, people are starting to learn our name and recognize us as an agency and what we do. So that's pretty good when IWMA doesn't mean much to most people as far as the acronym itself. And then our phone call averages. So this is, I think, the last 6 months, we've averaged out phone calls to about 600. And so if you just figure that some phone calls are 3 minutes apiece, some are 30 seconds, some are 30 minutes, but it averages out to about 4 minutes, we're spending about 40 hours a month just talking to customers on the phone at IWMA. So we think the public outreach and education is doing great, and we're just happy with these results. And then the technical advisory committee, as part of our JPA and part of our MOU, et cetera, there's some of these documents that discuss that we need to have this. We think it's a very good idea to coordinate all of our programs, and then as we move forward with the strategic plan in 1383, it's essential that we communicate back and forth. And right now, the immediate need is to start updating our integrated waste management plan. We're at that 5-year interval where we need a local task force. In other words, all the agencies that we represent have to help us put together an updated plan. And so what we're requesting right now is we want to move forward from going from the current technical advisory committee, which would be 19 members, to reducing that to the 8 voting members, and then maybe some representation on the special districts. And so I know we've talked about this a little bit before and haven't asked you to vote on anything, because we feel like we need to have your permission, and that should be through the strategic plan. We would get your direction, and then we would reduce the number or update this. So for now, what we're letting you know or asking is that we would just start meeting with the 7 towns and the county and the special districts as a local task force. And that would start meeting every other month in August. And we would start working on the 5-year plan, the strategic plan, SBA 1383 rollout. And then we would also, at a later date, potentially bring this back as the same group that might comprise the new technical advisory committee. And then there were 2 audits that we want to give you updates on. So we had a lot of HR issues about a year ago, and the agency hired CPS HR to review and recommend changes. I think their main finding was that we didn't have defined benefits and we didn't have a handbook. And so since then, we've been working on that, addressing all of those issues. So I know you can't read the detail here, but this is my letter to county HR discussing that audit and the findings and asking them to comment, because we're trying to avoid paying CPS a second time. And so here's a copy of the handbook. And just so you know, It's about 40 pages long, and we assembled it from documents we obtained from other local agencies, mostly the Slo County Pension Trust and RTA. And then we used Slo City's travel policy and Monterey Regional Waste Management District, which is a similar solid waste agency to us. And so we've got a 40-page document that mirrors what the county has used in other agencies. Recognize the county doesn't have a single handbook. It has different ones. And so we're supposed to mirror their policies. So I think we did a really good effort at providing a government document that's been reviewed and approved by other government documents and meets our needs. So again, this was sent to County HR in February, and we're hoping they get it reviewed back to us soon. And so that will put to bed any of the HR issues regarding the handbook and benefits. And then the second audit that was done was by the County Auditor Controller's Office, and they were looking at our financial procedures. So this, again, is a copy of that report, the front page. And then there were seven findings, and we believe we addressed every one of those, and we sent our response or our new forms or paperwork or whatever our new procedure is to the county to review and make sure we've addressed everything. Due to COVID-19, they haven't responded back yet, but we think we've addressed everything in there. Namely, their main finding was that we needed to have a staff accountant and monitor our finances. And so I wanted, if Barbara can chime in and say hello, she can wave at you. She's our new accountant. She worked for the sheriff's office and also for the airport. So you could say we poached her or borrowed her or whatever, but we stole her away, and she's working for us now, and she's untangling some of our accounting issues. So I don't expect you to read the detail on this slide, but this is just some of the things that she's recognizing and correcting in the agency. And it'll probably be a full year. We'll have to go through a full budget cycle for her to find everything that we need to fix. But it's right now she's finding all kinds of things, and it's been just fantastic. We love having her here. And so going back to the two audits, I think we've addressed all of the findings that were pointed out, all the deficiencies we had. But as soon as we get those back, we'll report that to you. And then some miscellaneous updates. I think I told you before that I was slated to be the SWANA, the Solid Waste Association's president. And that was because I was jumping from secretary past vice president, because the vice president was not able to serve. But she's since had a change in her career, so she's now able to do that. And so I've been slated to move to vice president. So I think that's fine with y'all, but I just want to let you know. And I'm very happy with that. Less responsibility for me. We have a meeting scheduled for June 18th, and then we mentioned the July 8th workshop. We're keeping the June 18th on the agenda at this point. I just want to remind you that it's an off week because of the county budget process, I think, shifted it. And then if there doesn't seem to be a lot of activity going on, we will cancel that. But we want to keep it on there for now and see what happens over the next couple weeks. We're continuing to communicate with Cal Poly and work with the students on some of our internal projects, and that's going really well. The revenue audit has been slow. That's just to remind you, we receive funding from only two sources. We do not get tax revenue. We have a $3 landfill disposal fee, and we have a 2% hauling fee, which is for commercials, and basically 30 cents a month for each household that has garbage service. That accounts for all of our revenue. And so we wanted to do an audit to make sure that everybody that was paying in was paying their fair share and that all the haulers were on level playing field. And so that was sent out to them. Requests for data were sent out in January, and they have requested time extensions beginning in January and asked us to file non-disclosure agreements with our consultant. And so at this point, the audit has not actually begun because of those time extensions and the NDAs. But we will get back to you as soon as we get that underway. And then I asked in February if I could update the JPA, MOA, and our policies and procedures manuals. And I just want to assure the board that that was nothing of a but housekeeping items. For example, I think the MOA says we have 10 board members, and we have 13. So I was just kind of doing some updating of the household cleanup, so to speak. And then if we get through the strategic plan or 1383, and there are changes that the board elects to make to those documents, then I would put those in. But I don't plan on making any change that's not approved and vetted by the board. So temporarily, I put those on hold until the strategic plan goes through. And then lastly, we have a couple of contracts with the county for services. The first one on the left here is the Auditor Controller's Office use of the SAP system, which basically tracks all the money that comes and goes out of IWMA. So this is fantastic because we have a record of everything we do financially. That's about $7,500 a year. That's required by the JPA, and that's on your consent agenda to approve that contract. However, we also, last year, entered into contracts with County HR and County IT. And County IT charges us about $16,000 a year. County HR charges $92 an hour, but they have a minimum fee of $10,000. And so as we proceed into the 2021 budget, we're asking if the board would allow us to get quotes for these services. County IT and HR, I think, are busy with their own internal departments. And we're a second tier department or outside agency. And so we're hoping that we can get a little faster service and maybe save some money for the agency, and maybe it frees up time for the county to put those resources to their own agencies. So if nobody has any heartburn on that, we will come back to you in the next couple of meetings with quotes for county HR and IT. But if anybody has any concerns of that, I'd appreciate if they would let us know. Okay, and with that, if there are any comments regarding any of my updates, please let me know.
Yeah, Brooks, question from Hammond. On the advisory group, who would you be putting on, or who's what's your thought on that?
Our thoughts are we would reach out to the city managers and county manager and ask them for a liaison type position, preferably somebody in public works, but it doesn't necessarily have to be that. We're just looking for that person who can distribute information backward and forward, because we're going to need input from the cities and the county on what they're doing and how they're going to implement something, and then vice versa. We're going to have to dictate some things because they're going to be mandated. So we'll ask the cities and county to recommend that person, and then as we move forward to see how it goes.
Yeah, that sounds good. Like public works directors would probably be a good one to hit.
Yeah, that's... Of
course, they don't need any more meetings, but this would be important, so... Also, the HR outsourcing, I think, is a great idea. So, love to see that come back as well.
Okay, thank you.
All right, doesn't look like we've got any further comments on the executive director's report. So now are we moving on to consent?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yeah. Do we have any questions on consent agenda? All right, seeing none, do we have any public comment on the consent agenda?
All right, at this time, if there are any attendees that are interested in making public comment on the consent agenda, please press star 9 with on your telephone or use the raise hand feature. And I will unmute you so you can make some public comment. It does not look like there's any public comment.
All right, would somebody like to make a motion?
Chairman Gomez, Hammond, I'll go ahead and approve consent agenda items 5 through 13.
I'll second.
All right, we've got a first and a second. Can we get a roll call on this?
Excuse me, President Gomez, I did not get who made the second.
Jeff Heller.
Okay, Debbie Arnold.
Yes.
Charles Verbeau.
Yes.
I'm going to try Karen Bright. I think she still doesn't have any audio. Lynn Compton?
Yes.
Robert Enns?
Yes.
Damn it.
Bruce Gibson?
Yes.
John Hammond?
Aye.
Jeff Heller? Jeff Heller?
Yes.
John Pichon?
Yes.
Keith Storton?
Yes.
Aaron Gomez?
Yes.
Wait, that's a good motion.
And can somebody from IWNSF contact Karen, either via the chat modality or just call her?
If I may, President, the chat is disabled, but I do have a telephone number that I just unmuted. It's not labeled, and I may hear somebody speaking on it. So,
hello?
Have you unmuted me?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, this is Karen Bright.
Hi, Karen.
Karen? Okay, this is Sheila Blake. Do we know how to unmute this thing?
You're unmuted currently. So now we can hear both Sheila Blake and Karen Bright.
Thank God.
President Gomez, should I take roll call again?
Maybe just on those two.
Okay. For the consent agenda, Karen Bright?
Here. Oh, yes.
Thank you, Karen Bright and Sheila Blake.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
All right. Now we have made it through the troubleshooting time. let's move on to the regular agenda.
Hey, Board, as I mentioned at the beginning of the meeting, we staff failed to send out the notification regarding the special meeting on March 23rd. So citizens were not able to comment on the polystyrene postponement agenda item. And so we discussed this with county councilors from the IWA council, Jeff Minery, and he suggested that we could revisit it, but it would have to be two motions. So item 14 is to rescind the action on March 23rd and then hear comment from the public and then reconsider it in item 15.
And Brooks, if I may interject very briefly, essentially this is very similar to what would be a motion to reconsider based on the lack of public notice, but we can't do a motion to reconsider in a subsequent meeting, so we're doing it in a two-step process to keep it as transparent as possible. So essentially it would be rescinding it and then a renewed motion on the same item that your board considered last meeting.
Do you have any questions from the board?
Yes, please, Aaron. It's Debbie. I don't know if you want me to raise hand or just jump in. But anyway, with your permission, I would ask a question.
Yeah, go ahead, Debbie.
Okay. Jeff, the special meeting was noticed properly, or what? I'm not understanding what the electronic notification system failure was. Was it noticed like on paper at the government center or some other place? In other words, was it legally noticed?
Yes. The matter was legally noticed. It was compliant with the Brown Act, and the government code is clear that even if we have a system in place where we send out email notifications, like apparently the district, the agency does, failure to receive notice does not negate the action of the board. So your board was in complete compliance. This is only being brought back at the suggestion of the executive committee to ensure transparency of what, potentially is a matter of interest to the public.
Okay. And then secondly, I assume that during that March 23rd meeting, we were in compliance there as well. It was discussed legally and it was public comment was asked for, et cetera.
you were in full compliance and all the way through. So there's no concern that the board or staff or anyone else violated the Brown Act at all.
Okay, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Aaron or President Gomez, this is Member Borbo.
Yeah, go ahead, Charles.
I just want to comment that for Supervisor Arnold and others, you know, why the executive committee elected to put this back on, in a sense. And it was, of course, as Council Minery explained, there was no technical violation of the Brown Act. But, you know, we do know that there are a number of people who watch IWMA matters very closely, and they do so through the email mechanism where they're notified of all, they're usually notified of all agendas and that sort of thing. And so it's really kind of a matter of fairness that they have the opportunity to comment, because they effectively had no way of knowing of there being a special meeting. If it was a regularly scheduled meeting, I certainly wouldn't, you know, agree to rehear it. But they essentially had no opportunity to comment. And, you know, judging from the number of emails we're getting, I think it's fair to say there was certainly a desire to comment, if you will. And so I just saw it as a matter of fairness to those folks who wanted to comment on it, even though, you know, it's going to take us probably a while to hear some of that commentary. I saw it's, you know, a matter of fairness that they get their due chance to comment.
Yeah, and to back up Mr. Verbeau's comments, the idea being transparency. You know, again, there would be no reason for individuals to check, you know, the legal notification of this, not since it was not on a regular date. And we have already had this agency go through some troubling issues when it comes to transparency. So,
Chairman Gomez.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a note maybe to Brooks, too. I don't know if the rest of you got it, but I've been getting inundated by emails on my private company email. I'm not sure how that got out, but along with my city email as well. But I'm not sure. Maybe it was incorporated into something. But quite a lot got out around this particular item in the last few days. So,
can I interrupt?
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Hammond. We will check into that and see if it's coming from our end.
Great. Thank you, Brooks.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
I guess Brooks can answer this question. So item 15, depending on what we do here, we would hear item 15. Is this item 15 the exact same language as the one we heard in the meeting of the 23rd of March?
Yes, sir. The only change is under our recommendation, we had put 12 months for the board to consider. And on this one, since 2 months has already passed, we are recommending that you tell us what time period you would want to postpone if you choose to postpone.
Okay. Thank you.
Well,
unless you have any further comments, we can open it up for public comment.
All right. At this time, members of the public, if you are interested in making a public comment on item 14, please use the raise hand feature by pressing star 9 on the telephone or the raise hand button on the app. And I will move through the line and we'll set a timer for 3 minutes. When you see that your time has gone down, please stop. But if you are on the telephone or if you are not able to see the timer, I will interrupt you and let you know that you have reached your time limit. And so give me one moment, please. Okay, we will begin with Barry. And
yeah, am I live?
You are live. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. I just want to speak in favor of rescinding the action that was taken on March 23rd. And I appreciate the board's willingness to do this in spite of technically it was a legal motion, but I appreciate the effort to be transparent and appreciate to be able to comment later on. And under item number 15, I will comment on my feelings about the motion itself. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Next, we will move on to Judith. And
are we still only on 14 or are we on 15 yet?
We are only on 14. This is public comment for item 14.
Okay. I'm glad you did that, and I'll comment under the next item.
Oh.
Yeah. I'll okay. comment under 15.
Okay. Thank you. So next we have Craig Cadwallader.
Good afternoon. First of all, I really appreciate the IWMA's executive committee's decision to bring this matter up because of some of the glitches mentioned. And I do want to note very quickly the board member who asked where the email addresses came from. On the IWMA website, there is a button to click that includes all the board members' email addresses. So I can tell you that comments I made were derived from that, just so you're aware. I appreciate the rescinding that order so public could make comments on the decision. I had some issues with that about why the 12 months was chosen and what sort of input was received to come up with a number like that. And having looked into this very deeply, I think that there are some real challenges on why that would be delayed and what the real impacts are. And just so you are aware, my background is I'm an undergraduate and graduate business major. I've had my own businesses. I operate as a consultant to small businesses, and I'm very pro-business. But I'm also very pro-environment, so I try to balance the two, and I generally would not do anything to harm a business, and I always carefully consider any comments I might be behind with the impacts on business. So I'm fully believe that the ordinance has safety valves for businesses that should be used, and I'll comment later on that. But thank you very much for your transparency. Thank you for wanting to do the right thing, and I fully support the board making a decision to rescind the March 23rd decision. Thank you.
All right, thank you. So, Janine, you should be unmuted now.
Hello, thank you for having this meeting, and I too urge you to revisit this issue, to rescind the vote on March 23, as it did come as a shock because we weren't aware that that was even something that you would consider to postpone or set this thing aside for a year. So I'm glad we're able to talk about it today. And I also reiterate that we want to know what the basis used to postpone this. Because I haven't seen any proof or data showing that you had communication from businesses that showed they were in a hardship phase to not implement this ordinance. Thank you.
All right. Lee Perkins?
Hello. I'm from Atascadero, and I've been supporting the plastics at the city level, county level, state level, and I've been following the local process, and there's been a huge community support for waste management to have the polystyrene ordinance. And I see that on the 23rd of March, it was postponed for a whole year. And I agree with Craig and Janine that I'm wondering what the basis for that was. And I'll talk further at the next agenda item. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Okay, Dylan,
excuse me. Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Well, I'd also like to say that item 14 should be rescinded. And I'm here to give the stance of a student at Cal Poly. I'm the Zero Waste Club president, and I represent many students in the environmental clubs that hold the same opinion. But that it should be considered the pollution that will be caused by all of these containers, especially with the increase of takeout skyrocketing because of COVID. And I'd also like to have you think about how marginal of an increase this is in price and how much the cost of the containers are. My parents are actually owners of a biodegradable and eco-friendly supply store, and it is often the argument that it costs too much, but the goals of the county should be accounted for, and our environmental goals should outweigh this. So, thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, Rita?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Thank you. I also am speaking in support of rescinding the decision made on March 23rd. I, like everyone has mentioned, I really appreciate this additional effort you as IDWMA going out of your way to make sure that there's transparency and there's a space for the community to make their voice heard. Really, really appreciate it. Appreciate the chair and the entire board's decision to bring this topic into the agenda again. So I support the recommendation of rescinding the decision. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Okay, it looks like the next step would be Brad Snook, but it's telling me that, okay, I'll have to promote you to panelists. So if you have video enabled, Brad, it will likely show your video, just so you know. And okay, Brad, can you hear us?
Yeah, thank you, Brad Snook. I'm the chair of our county's chapter of Surfrider Foundation. I'm looking forward to commenting on the next item. Appreciate the board's bringing this back for the public's chance to comment. And I piggyback on the previous public members' comments and look forward to item number 15 coming up. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. One more. Ted Hamilton?
Yes, I'd like to see the you to rescind the vote to postpone as well on 14.
Okay. Is that the end of your public comment?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Okay. It looks like there is not any further public comment on this item, President.
All right, maybe this will work now. Bring it back to the board for any comments and then any motion.
Oh, Erin, it's Debbie. I keep reaching for the mute button on and off. Can you all, I think I'm unmuted right now.
Yep, so, I can hear you.
Yeah, is it all right if I go ahead and just make a comment on this?
Go ahead.
All righty then. So I just want to say that I don't think this is a good precedent. When this ordinance 2019-1 was approved in October of 2019, I heard afterward from people that were affected, businesses large and small, affected by this ordinance who didn't feel like there was at all sufficient outreach on this item, and they were completely unaware of the issue being agendized until after the ordinance was passed. All the boards that we sit on, this happens where email notification and people that think they're on lists and don't get noticed. We've been through this before, but I've never been on a board that decided or agendized to rescind something that was noticed properly and legally voted on. So on March 23rd, we took a legal vote to postpone this ordinance. I think that it's more important than ever. And that was a while back when the COVID issue was first popping up. To me, it's more important than ever now, as we know so many restaurants that use the material, the polystyrene containers, are hanging by a thread, dependent on takeout orders, and kind of dependent on some on the polystyrene containers for their takeout. So I am not in favor of rescinding an item. I am certainly not in favor of getting in the habit of rescinding a legally voted on item because we hear from people afterwards, I was unaware, or I didn't get noticed, or I think I should have been noticed. As long as this was legally done, I think it's a vote to postpone. It has a sunset, and I don't think we should be doing this.
Okay, that is duly noted. I will note, based on your comments, our city has taken steps back from items like this when we have found out they have not been legally notified. So every board takes this a little bit differently, and this is the chance for us to weigh in on that. Do we have any more comments from the board?
I'd like to make a comment if I could, Mr. Gomez.
Yes, please do, Mr. Heller.
So, to be honest with you, when it was passed on the 23rd of March, personally, I was in a little bit of a state of panic. It was shortly about a week after COVID had kicked in. And to be frank, I kind of felt like the sky was falling to a certain extent. Now that we're 2 months into this, I don't quite feel the same way. And when I look back at my notes, I realized that 5 of the 7 incorporated cities in San Luis Obispo County passed ordinances banning polystyrene within the last 5 years. There are 3 states, Maine and Maryland, apparently, which have passed bans in the entire state. And I think New York is getting ready to do that. We have 120 cities or counties in California that have passed bans on polystyrene, and it's been a 30-year struggle to get to this point. And I regret the vote that I cast on the 23rd, and I think we should rescind basically voting yes to postpone to rescind the what we approved on the 23rd, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. Appreciate the comments.
President Gomez, if I could add just some information. I too felt like at the time when this was presented, we were confronted with a situation we knew little about. We are definitely a couple more months into it to where I think there's a little more stability and a little more information as to how we can proceed and move forward. Although I appreciate Board Member Arnold's position, I do feel like we're in a different time of communication and the ability for people to reach out has changed a little bit. And I think in order to respect those citizens that want to speak, certainly many have shown up today and have emailed this, I think it would be right for us to rescind the item so we can have further discussion. Thank you.
President Gomez? Yes. Karen Bright here. Yeah.
Go ahead, Ms. Bright.
Thank you. I am concerned about the number of people who have indicated their concern that they were not notified in the way that they normally are, and how many people have contacted me via email and now also during this meeting. So I do feel that, for me, I do feel that is something that I would like to go forward with here today. So I would like to cast my vote again, please. And I appreciate the opportunity to do so. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
President Gomez, Member Borbeau again. For me, again, this is about fairness. I take the point that Supervisor Arnold makes about folks afterwards, especially, you know, restaurant owners afterwards saying, hey, I didn't know that was under consideration when we adopted this in October. I think that just points out, though, that we need to look for ways to communicate with stakeholders, whenever we adopt an ordinance, so, especially when we know there's stakeholders like restaurants. We need to get out there and notify them. But just for me, as a matter of fairness, we know there are these folks we got emails from who normally are very vigilant about watching our agendas. And so I just, for me, it's a matter of fairness to let them comment and not through, no bad intent or anything like that. They were not allowed to do. But I do think in the future, we do need to make a better job of making sure that businesses are kind of go the extra mile, if you will, to make sure they're aware of any action the IWMA is contemplating.
President, this is John Prashan. I support Debbie Arnold. I don't believe we should rescind. I made the motion on the 23rd of March. I have discussed this ad nauseum through the election of this last year, and I will tell you that my district does not support the polystyrene ban, and so I'm going to be standing up for them today.
Duly noted.
Chairman Gomez, Hammond.
Hey, go ahead, Mr. Hammond.
Yeah, I'll chime in as well. Again, the whole reason for this originally was to make the North County and the rest of the county, meaning Tascadero and Paso Robles, to go ahead and be incorporated into this ordinance because we had not done it as a city nor the county. It's a method through the JPA, the IWMA, to make the whole county conform. And again, I am going to hold up and say again, we should not rescind. We'll continue. We'll discuss it on number 15. But at this point, I do not support rescinding item 14.
Okay. So we kind of have people weighing in with what their thoughts are. Does anybody want to make a motion one way or another?
Yes.
No.
We discussed the item on under item 15. No, that's a lot of talking, but
I think we missed. I think part of the audio was gone. I didn't hear the whole comment from Brabo, and then I know Karen Bright is also trying to comment.
I moved that we adopt item 14 to rescind the action, and then reconsidered under item 15.
You break it up, Charles. When you turn away from your screen, we can't hear you all.
We didn't hear it at all.
All right, well, let me try it again. I'll make the motion that we go ahead and rescind the action of March 23rd and reconsider it under item 15.
I'll second.
All right, we have a first and a second. Do we have any comments? All right, let's do a roll call.
Debbie Arnold?
No.
Sheila Blake?
Yes.
Charles Brabeau?
Yes.
Karen Bright?
Yes.
Lynn Compton?
No.
Robert Enns?
Yes.
Bruce Gibson?
Yes.
John Hammond?
No.
Jeff Heller?
Yes.
John Pishong?
No.
Keith Storton?
Yes.
Aaron Gomez?
Yes.
I have 8 yeses. We have a good motion.
All right, so that passes. It has been rescinded. We will be now moving on to item 15 to rediscuss this. Brooks, are you still there?
Yes, I'm sorry. I didn't know if you needed me to discuss it. So item 15 is exactly what we discussed on March 23rd. It's to suspend the ordinance that was supposed to take effect on April 9th until a date determined by the board. And just so the board knows, we had sent this out to the businesses that were affected that it was being delayed by 12 months. But we can send out another notification depending on the pleasure of the board.
Any questions?
I do have one.
Yeah, go ahead.
Brooks, you just mentioned that you sent out to businesses, many businesses that were affected, that the ordinance had been postponed for 12 months. Did those same businesses receive the notice that this was being reheard today in item 14 and 15?
No, ma'am, we did not, because we needed to have the board give us direction to do that.
So we just, on item 14, we just agendized this at the request of folks that said, I didn't get notice that this was on the agenda. Now we've sent to businesses telling them they had a 12-month reprieve. Businesses, many that are coping with this COVID situation, and they weren't noticed about what we're doing today, the recension. So it's just a funny thing to me that we would be doing that. But particularly, I'm wondering, after we passed the original ordinance in October of 19, I heard in my office from the Poultry Association folks, and because of the packaging, because in California they weren't ready to change up so fast as we were asking. Were they reached out to? Because I know they've been trying to reach out to us to ensure they knew about or were kept up to date on these things.
Yes, ma'am. We had about 30 odd requests for exemptions. Now, recognize that some of those were grocery chains or larger organizations like the Poultry Association, so they may have represented multiple businesses in our district. But we helped all of them file the proper exemption form and help facilitate that. So we did communicate with them regarding the exemption.
So they were working off of exemptions anyway, so they you're saying they maybe wouldn't be interested in the fact that we postponed it for a year, or that we're rescinded the postponement and all this is going on. I'm just wondering if we communicated today's, because knowing that they've been reaching out to us, they were one of the industries that really didn't feel like they'd been notified very well that we were moving ahead. They reached out after the first discussions that we had, what was that, more than a year ago, and then didn't really realize it was coming up and agendized back in October. So then I knew that you all were working with them and they were trying to work out exemptions and so forth, but I still would think that they would be interested in any kind of movement on this particular issue. Haven't heard from them. I haven't heard from them on this. Maybe it doesn't matter to them if they got their other exemptions.
I will note that they have the capability, just like all public members, to subscribe to that email list. And they've actually had more engagement with the IWMA staff than I think any single individual entity on this item. So it's an interesting one to pull out of the conversation.
No, I'm just asking. It sounds to me like people were noticed by email, or I don't know if it's letters or email or how you noticed them, that this was postponed, but they weren't noticed. It doesn't sound like that we were considering sending them a comment. Those are my comments. I don't need any other answers.
President, I had a couple of questions for Brooks, if I may.
Yeah, go ahead.
Brooks, I was curious, most of the correspondence I've received are people who are in favor of the polystyrene ban. I've received little to nothing in regards to businesses or restaurants and any negative impacts or inability for them to comply. I haven't had a chance to look at any new information that IWMA may have received directly. Have you received anything from individual restaurants or businesses in regards to this discussion?
No, sir, I'm not aware of any of that, but we did not make an attempt from the executive committee meeting to now to reach out to businesses to let them know this was being reconsidered.
Then, you received it last time. You received comments last time because I read some of them that came in.
Yeah, I think there were a couple at the last meeting.
Yeah, I'm speaking to this meeting.
Yeah, I that's what I was speaking to as well. And how many entities during this time did you say were seeking exemptions?
I believe there were 30, but again, considering that some of them may have been a grocery store chain that had multiple outlets.
Okay. And are you aware of anybody saying that there's a supply chain issue or packaging issue moving forward? Have you received any feedback regarding the use of polystyrene or even alternative packaging methods?
Well, those, other than the 30 exemptions that we had, no. But again, I don't think that those businesses are aware that we're reconsidering this today.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Those are all the questions I had right now.
Do you have any further questions? Seeing none, that will move it to public comment on this item.
Okay, at this time, any attendees that are interested in making public comment on item 15, please use the raise hand feature in the app or on your web browser, or use *9 if you're on the telephone, and I will go through the list one by one.
And before we get in there, just to give the public a kind of an understanding, we have received all of the public comments that you have submitted via email, and the entire board gets that, so we've got a chance to look at that. And if there are multiple comments that are the same comments, I think referring to the previous speaker, though, is helpful just for the sake of time. I can't see how many speakers there are. I can limit it to 1 minute if we start now, but I don't want to do that prior to knowing how many public commenters are going to be commenting.
Okay. it looks like as of right now we have about 7.
Okay, yeah, then leave it full 3 minutes.
All right. Judith?
Oh, thank you very much. I've been working on this along with Janine Rands for some years and was so pleased that you did adopt the ordinance because, as you know, it's not effective unless it really is countywide. I am sorry that it was postponed so long a period. I can see giving a very short extension in light of the many difficulties that small businesses face, but I can't see an entire year. And I'd like to make a comment. If you have been out walking on the beaches, they are more crowded than ever. The garbage pails are overflowing with takeout food. If we add to that people coming from out of the county when it's hot in the summer to enjoy our beaches, even though we're not encouraging them to come, they probably still will come. And if they are able to purchase containers of polystyrene takeout, it's only going to make the situation much worse than it's ever been before. So I do agree to postpone it until the county health officer cancels the local health emergency declaration, and I'm hoping that will be in the next few months. But I really cannot see extending it a year. Most of the businesses, thinking that the deadline was April, undoubtedly already started to research their resources for buying alternative products. And as you know, the 5 cities that had passed the ordinance have many restaurants that can advise them if they don't know where to get those products. The costs have all come down appreciably over the last few years when we've debated this. So I really don't think that this is a time to put it off more than a year. I hope you will go ahead with the ban and restore it, and at the most postpone it by a few months. But thank you for your good work on this. I think the ordinance you put together is very strong and would hope that you'd vote to keep it countywide. Thank you.
Thank you. Barry?
Yeah, this is Barry Rands from San Luis Obispo. And I did submit some written comments. I compared allowing the styrofoam to be continue to be used, given that it's recognized as a toxic waste, compared that to an oil leak. And by allowing these businesses to continue to use and sell these products, it's like allowing an oil company to let a leak go into our ocean. And certainly we wouldn't give them a hardship exemption because we would want to keep the leak from going into the ocean. But the other thing I wanted to comment on is that even if there is a hardship, the ordinance already has hardship exemptions written into it. So there's no reason, and it sounds from what I've heard, that there's already 30 businesses that have applied for hardship exemptions. So if there is a hardship because of the COVID pandemic, businesses can already apply for hardship exemption. And there's also in the ordinance a public safety exemption as well. So there seems to me that there's absolutely no reason to postpone this ordinance any longer than necessary. Thank you.
Thank you. Lee Perkins?
Hello. I agree with Barry and the other speakers that have spoken up in favor of the ordinance already. And as Debbie Arnold said herself, this subject has been under discussion for over a year, well over a year. It's been to every city council, city, and the county, asking for them to have some sort of a polystyrene ordinance. And you would think that you would want to have the new material that is non-polystyrene because there is so much more takeout. And I agree that it fills up the garbage cans, all this polystyrene. I live in North County, and I think I've been getting takeout, and most of the restaurants are already using it. And again, it was effective April 9th, 2020. People had time to switch over. And again, to repeat that there are hardship exemptions. Again, I repeat that thank you, Board, for the ordinance, and I'd like to see it go into effect. I don't see any reason for delay. Thank you.
Thank you. Maddie?
Hi. Are you guys able to hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I'm speaking on behalf of working in restaurants my entire professional career and managing them. And I wanted to thank Miss Debbie Arnold for trying to look out for restaurants during this time, because they definitely are struggling. But speaking from experience, I know that we are able to find packaging that is safe to use at the same price as polystyrene products. And I wanted to suggest that any restaurants who are struggling to find cheap packaging that does not use polystyrene be directed to volunteers from the community who can help them find that cheap packaging, because it is definitely available. And people want to help them, and it's totally possible. And if you guys want to set that up, you should send an email to your mailing list about it, and I am part of that mailing list, and I will volunteer to help all of them find that.
Thank you. Is that the end of your comment?
Yep, that's it.
Okay, thank you. Brad Snook?
Yeah, good afternoon. Brad Snook, chair of our county's chapter of Surfrider Foundation. I agree with the other speakers. I also agree with some of the members of the IWMA board, in that in March, we were in a different headspace. The county's people were under a lot of stress. We now have the benefit of looking back and saying, you know, that we've had an opportunity to manage this virus and its effect on the county. And we're looking forward to moving forward with some of the good decisions that decision makers have made in the past. This ordinance is well written. It's well supported in the community. We're looking forward to supporting our restaurants through the summer. But if we have more polystyrene, it will affect our parks, our beaches, our wildlife, all of the risks that polystyrene puts on the environment are very real. And unless the board moves forward with something immediately and implements this ordinance, you will put our county at risk. Thank you.
Craig, can you hear us?
Yes, thank you. I'd just like to add that part of my business experience, I've worked in the restaurant business in a management capacity as well as consulting that business, and I'm acutely aware of expenses, the concerns, but I also know I have researched the polystyrene ordinances countrywide, actually worldwide, and have worked on a toolkit to help create ordinances that not only protect the environment, but are also good for business. And part of the research I've done was there was a survey done by the Quick Service Restaurant Association a number of years ago, that shows that restaurants that use environmentally appropriate foodware and et cetera are actually more profitable than the businesses that rely on expanded polystyrene items. It's actually good for their businesses because customers actually prefer to patronize those businesses that also help protect their environment. So more profitable to do the right thing. And also, the comment was made by the previous board member about 120 ordinances in the state. I know where that came from. That website needs to be updated. There are actually 138 ordinances right now with others pending. And across the state, the decision was made that this is the right thing to do to create a healthy environment that also reduces cleanup expenses and improves the quality of life for all the residents and visitors. The in section 7 of the ordinance, there are two paragraphs, A and G. G allows for a delay for an emergency, which we're in, which I support. And paragraph A is the undue hardship clause, which the executive director already mentioned people have been using. So the ordinance has that built in. It's smart for doing that, and I support that. And it already allows for these businesses to deal with the current situation. And I very much appreciate the stress the businesses are under. Also, the stress the board was under on March 23rd. So I urge that this be reinstated when the county health emergency is lifted and to go ahead as intended. Thank you.
Thank you. Janine.
Hi there. So I have noted some comments here that I wanted to respond to. The ordinance was postponed 17 days before the enactment date, and I would like to believe that every restaurant, every retail store had a plan that they were going to have their new stock in hand to comply. To Supervisor Arnold's position, and North County, Pashong and Hammond, we don't want people to eat out of styrofoam. It's poison. And to encourage your citizens to have access to this styrene and eat out of it is condemning them to multiple illnesses that come from styrene. To the trash issue, I was at Pismo Beach last Sunday, and there were throngs of people out on the beaches. Right at the curb, the bins were so full, stuff was falling out of them. You know, there's a boogie board, and there is a plastic big pail, and then if you get food items jammed in on there, and that's pickup. When is pickup going to be? The whole 24 hours later. So adding that to styrofoam would be just horrible. For publication, we've been working on this issue for 6 years, and we've been covered by TV, radio, New Times, multiple outlets. And to say that people aren't informed of the conditions that polystyrene raises is just simply not true. The other issue is that if North County can still sell this stuff and the restaurants can use it, it's going to come down to the beaches. It's going to come down to our parks. People travel and bring their food with them. If they also can buy it by the stack in retail store, they're going to bring those products down to us. We have beaches in District 4 and District 2 that are 80 miles of coastline. We've got to protect this coastline from the trash, from styrofoam, and protect our birds, protect the wildlife, the marine life. When you hear of a story of an animal dying and they open it up and it's full of plastic, I'm responsible. We're all responsible, and we've got to be responsible citizens. Thank you.
Thank you. Rita Casaverde.
Thank you. I just want to make sure that we are being honest on our comments. I see that two supervisors that voted no on the original ordinance are voting no again today. So if there was a change, if I would be seeing a change of someone that voted yes before and now because of COVID, they have thought about it better. I would believe that a little bit more, but let's be honest, there's a record of who voted no originally and who's voting no today. That said, I understand that everyone has received a notification for this meeting, including businesses. And I hope that our supervisors were able to review the agenda before the meeting, and hopefully they have contacted those businesses. And I really hope that we can hear from them today if they do exist. Like Janine mentioned, we were only 17 days away from the ban going in place. So I am sure that businesses were responsible, as they usually are, and had made plans to follow the ordinance from the county. I also want to mention that I understand the work that all of you guys are doing. I really thank the efforts and the decisions that you are probably making on a daily basis, considering this crisis and considering the situation, the high stress moments that you're probably going. So I want to thank you for all the work that you guys are doing, every one of your cities and at the county level. It must be really stressful, and we appreciate it. But maybe we can take a breath today and make a conscious decision on a calm decision on where we want our county to go. I understand that you might have rushed into a decision on March 23rd because we didn't know many things, but I think this county is trying to go into a reopening and has given us the assurance that we are ready to do so. So I suggest that we make that good decision today of enacting the styrofoam ban, considering that it already has hardship exemptions. Thank you again for all the work that you guys are doing. I understand stressful times, but let's move forward rather than go backwards.
Thank you. Yeah, one more public comment. Carmen?
Hello, my name is Carmen Boquin, and I'm based in Paso Robles, John Pashong's district. And I want to encourage the board and the rest of y'all to uphold this ordinance. Like all of the other speakers have said, it's going to be easier to like return to normal when we keep pushing towards progress. And also, I mean, as someone that's worked in numerous cafes and restaurants in North County, I've seen that, like the other speaker said, that restaurants actually tend to prefer other items besides styrofoam. And we've already seen businesses and restaurants transition. And so I think I really want to encourage y'all to vote yes on this and to continue the ordinance, because like as the ordinance upholds, there is a hardship clause. And so if folks can adapt to it, they can also use that. And I know there's other support in North County. We've seen this come to the Paso Robles City Council I think twice in the last 2 years. And we've had like numerous student groups at Paso Robles High School, and public, speakers, come and talk in favor of a styrofoam ban. And so there is support in North County and Paso Robles specifically. And I really want to encourage y'all to listen to all of those speakers, that have expressed concern over this before, especially in North County, because, there is support for a styrofoam ban. So yeah, really want to encourage y'all to not, postpone this ordinance. It's going to be really hard if we have to adapt a year in the future to this. We might as well do it now. It's going to be hard either way. So I really want to encourage y'all to uphold this ordinance. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. It doesn't look like there is any more public comment.
Okay. Then I will bring it back to the board for some comments, and I will start off because this is something that I've spent a lot of time looking into over my years as a political individual, as well as having my own small business that is currently also shut down. So I am fully aware of the hardships that are being created right now for small businesses. But I want to remind us all how we got to this point. You know, if you look at the realities of polystyrene and the chemicals that are in them and the fact that it is a non-recyclable item, you know, we have a duty to our public to maintain health and safety. I think this pandemic has shown that, you know, that we have to take drastic steps during these sorts of endeavors. And polystyrene is linked to cancer. And according to the CDC in 2017, 600,000 people within the United States died from cancer. So, I mean, thinking that this is just an ease of use item for restaurants, I think we're missing the bigger issue here. And if you've read any of the headlines around plastic use, it is skyrocketing throughout our country, our county, and throughout the world. You know, it was already a crisis prior to this, and now we have seen that crisis explode. So we kind of have to face this issue head on. And, you know, as many people and many of the commenters said, we have an economic hardship clause built into this, and it's actually a fairly low bar when you look at it. You know, most restaurants will most likely be able to get this, or we'll figure out a way to get them the necessary items at the same price. So there's a way to do this that is not going to create this economic inability for restaurants to adapt, even though it's a stressful time. And I certainly support a 30, 60 day, you know, even 90 day if the health emergency lasts, you know, that long. But there is zero evidence to say that we need to postpone this by an entire year. So with that, I will encourage us to understand why we got to this point, and also not to be led by individuals that didn't want this ordinance in the first place. I think we need to be realistic about, you know, who's commenting and what their goals are.
Mr. Chairman, if I might.
Yes, Mr. Gibson.
Just a question of Mr. Stayer. The minutes that are attached to the previous staff report aren't completely clear, but when we took the action on March 23rd, did we suspend implementation of this ordinance until April 9th of 2021? Was that the exact action we took?
Correct. We postponed implementation for 12 months.
Okay. And you sent out notices to that effect with that date to how many entities and what specific entities?
Approximately 2,500, I believe, in the retail industry that we have lists that we use.
Okay, thank you. That's a key piece. Let me just finish my commentary. I have no love for polystyrene. It is a plague on the environment, and we worked hard. But I think there's also, in the matter of good governance, an importance to maintain a certain consistency. So as much as I would like to see polystyrene leave the face of the earth today, you know, that's not exactly gonna happen. I will note that we passed that extension 9-0 with 4 members absent on the 23rd of March. And so I'd be comfortable simply making that same action, validating that same action based on the idea that we have told businesses what the situation is, and if we make any change to that, we're responsible for telling them again. I think that sows confusion. I think in the meantime, we can engage an educational effort to make sure that those who are still inclined to use polystyrene are even now, before the ordinance, looking for alternatives. So I understand those who would like to see us actually not take action on this item so that the ordinance would be in effect now. But I think, in fairness, we need to be consistent with our previous action.
Mr. Gomez? Mr. Gibson, I think, hit the nail on the head for me, which is, I wasn't there on March 23rd. I was out on a family emergency and death in the family. But I don't think the action on March 23rd was an overreaction on the part of the board. Although, obviously, you know, more information everyone has as time passes on. But the key thing to me is Mr. Gibson just alluded to, and Mr. Stayer had said, we sent out 2,500 notices to businesses saying, hey, this is in abeyance for 12 months. And I think it would be a big mistake for us to turn around and then send those, oh, never mind that, we changed our mind. And it also goes to folks wondering why a whole year. Well, we don't know how long this crisis would last. And so if we said, hey, this is, we're going to suspend this until the emergency order is lifted or something. Nobody knows when that's going to be. And these small businesses in particular need the opportunity to plan. And they don't need to have their, you know, suddenly, the emergency order is lifted 63 days from now or something. And boom, this is back in effect. So I think a year was reasonable at the time. And because it has been sent, we should not jerk them around. And comments have been made regarding the ability of them to, you know, get alternatives. They were already planning for alternatives. And that is true. But our small businesses now, they need less things to worry about, not more things to worry about. And they also, in terms of the opportunity to comment, while I think it was fair to rehear this and give people the chance to speak to it, it's also true that we don't go out of our way to notice the business community. And I think we need to do a better job at that. And someone pointed out, well, they can sign up for the email just like anyone else. We have folks who are very interested in the activities of this body, and I applaud them for that. But a small business, they never, you know, to them, there's an endless array of government entities that can regulate their life every day and come up with new regulations every day. And they really don't have time to try to monitor every one of them. I think we need to do a better job in the future of reaching out to those businesses and ensuring that, they really have a chance to weigh in. And so I am comfortable with sustaining the March 23rd action. And I'm speaking as somebody who voted for the original ordinance in October. Thank you.
This is John Pashon. I would agree with Charles Warbeau. I think we just need to sustain what we did and give us an opportunity to discuss this with businesses. Thanks.
Hello, yep. Karen Bright here. Hello?
Go ahead, Karen.
Thank you. I can say that since this stay-at-home order was initiated, we've been supporting many local providers in our county all over. By taking out food and curbside pickup, and not once have we received a polystyrene container. Not here in the South County, not in San Luis, not in Atascadero. I haven't been to Paso, So people are already, they've already started using alternative products. And I think they're going to continue to do so, whether they're ordered to or not. I would prefer that it not be this way, but I agree with Mr. Gibson. We've already gone there, and so I think that is, we do need to be consistent, and so as much as I hate to say it, I think I'd have to agree there. So thank you.
Aaron Hammond.
Yep, go ahead, Mr. Hammond.
Yeah, thank you. I just, you know, to your point, Aaron, I mean, thought about cancer and 600,000 people dying, you know, it's almost worse than COVID. You know, I think we must have an EPS pandemic here. And, you know, it's one of those things where I'm happy that San Luis and all the other cities took, you know, action to protect their citizens, I guess, if you want to call it this. But I never favored IWMA facing this epidemic of EPS being used to the North County because we did not follow their lead. Again, I think it's one of those things where I rather favor a non-governmental way of making restaurants comply through, you know, public demand, public pressures, market pressures even, to switch over to, you know, packaging that is better developed for the environment. Everybody wants that. And in our city, we've been basically passing ordinances to help businesses through this COVID situation, especially the restaurants, which are going to be extremely hard to come back from this. You know, all their products that they do have still in our North County, basically it's, it needs to be used up and then convert to something else. Again, I totally favor at this point keeping our original action in force. I would recommend for another 10 months exactly what we had originally passed. Hopefully this period, we should be, again, informing the restaurateurs and everybody that uses EPS to start converting. You know, again, it's just more time to get their stock burned up and gone and move to something else. So I would, support postponing the implementation of the ordinance for at least for another 10 months.
President Hammond, I'm sorry, President Gomez, I'll make a few comments. Since the COVID had stricken us, I'd really kind of had a different, my thinking has kind of evolved differently. And just some of the comments I wrote down, you know, when I was a kid, I used to go to Cold Canyon with my dad, and this was about 45 years ago. And we would just dump whatever was in the back of the truck into the landfill. And it could have been wood or yard waste or metals or paint or hazardous material. And I feel like over the years, we've really learned the value of our social responsibility and economic responsibility and our environmental responsibility and even our health and safety, human health and safety responsibility on how we regulate our trash stream. And I feel like it's the duty of the IWMA for us to come together and try to come up with ways to help mitigate some of the serious issues in our trash stream. And I think we'd be hard-pressed to go back, knowing what we know today, to say that we could dump paint and batteries and electronics and other hazardous materials back into our landfills. I just don't think we'd do that. I think we wouldn't be giving the justice through our social justice or economic or environmental or even our health and safety, because it just wouldn't be the correct thing to do. So I am kind of mixed with, you know, we've notified 2,500 businesses of this change, but I also feel like we have a greater responsibility as an IWMA. And I think we have many significant trash stream issues, and they're ever-changing, and they're constantly challenging, and they're even put to us, you know, demanded from the state in a number of different ways. And over time, we've been able to mitigate some of those, and we've also been able to deal with some disposal issues, but some are very complex, particularly like this issue, like polystyrene and many of our hard plastics. We realized these were convenient years ago, but we're learning how damaging they are. in the areas of social, environmental, economic, and human health and safety. So I do believe in the data and the science that's been presented in regards to polystyrene impacts and the trash management to deal with those impacts. I look to the little steps that have been made over the years and in the decades before I was here about how we manage things like paint and electronics and green waste. And these past choices were made for my benefit by others. And it was for my health and safety. And so I'm trying to think, what can I do in my position now to kind of encourage that moving forward, to provide good action that helps protect us in many ways? And I think I've been really influenced by this COVID experience, where we right now, we're in a world and we're trying very hard to save people. We're trying very hard to save lives. We're social distancing. We're in this meeting like this, like we are now. We're wearing masks. We're cleaning things incessantly. And what are we willing to do for the sake of humanity to save ourselves right now, today, in light of this COVID? And it's the value of life that I look at today that's been identified as our most important objective during these COVID times. And I kind of compare it to what we're experiencing now, that we're in a position to make some choices that impact our long-term survival and our sustainability. It may be small, but it's a small part of a cycle that started a very long time ago. So we've already determined that life is extremely important to us, but what is the value of that life and our environment, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, or 50 years from now when I'm not even here? So I know that people before us had made hard decisions moving forward, but I really did feel like it was for the best interest in the health and safety of all of us to avoid some of these dangerous contaminants that are in our society. So today I have a chance to make that difference in regards to polystyrene. I originally voted for the ordinance change. When we were presented with the issue on the 23rd, I supported the postponement just because I wasn't really sure what was going on with COVID. But I really do think that we need to create a pattern of positive behavior moving forward and go with the changes that the polystyrene ordinance presents. I think that will help us meet our social, environmental, economic, and human safety impacts. And even Brooks talked about the website hits, where he's getting a lot of people looking for information on what to do. And I think people are looking to the IWMA to help them be educated and understand the impacts of our trash stream. I know within my own community, we voted for it, and I know the city of Arroyo Grande is in support of this ban. There are hardships and exemptions that are available to people that they can use for their benefit. And there's also proper packaging available. And I just think we need to make the change and start getting that ball rolling forward so we can continue in that direction. And that's all I had in the way of comments. Thank you.
I don't know how to turn my light in to say that I wish to make a comment. I don't know if there's a little hand raised.
You're up now.
Okay, very good. So I don't know one small business in this county right now, whether it's a restaurant or a grocery store, that is not completely concerned about their survival, not even just in the next year, but in the long term. They don't know what's happening as they move forward. Their business, even if they're doing curbside, carry out, has been significantly impacted. They can't pay their rent. They can't pay their employees because their PPAs haven't come through or their SB loans haven't come through. And they're at their wit's end. And do I believe that most of them are paying attention to what happens at an IWMA meeting? No. I think they've got so many other things on their plate right now. They're just trying to survive and keep their head above water. And I guess I take issue with the comment that, we know what's going on with COVID now. We're 2 months into this. We don't know what's going on. We don't know when this is going to end. We don't know when people are going to start frequenting restaurants again and go back to, how things were 3 months ago. We just don't know what's going on as we move forward. I have never been in a meeting where something was legally noticed and it met all the requirements, and then because people called in after, it was re-agendized to be heard again at a meeting. I don't think we've ever done that at the Board of Supervisors, but maybe it has happened. This was a unanimous decision before. I certainly can understand people changing their mind. I've changed my mind on different votes and things, but you live with that when you take the vote. And so I'm not in favor of going back and re-notifying all these businesses who, by the way, didn't get notified of this. Again, I just think that's crazy to do, to take another bite at the apple when you already had the vote on it. So that's, I won't be supporting this, and that's my opinion on it.
Mr. President, this is John Prashan. I made the motion on March 23rd, and I'd like to make the motion today to continue with staff's recommendation for, I think it was till April 9th, 2021. Brooks, is that a correct date?
I believe so, yes, sir.
Okay, so we would continue on this. We would basically approve the polystyrene, what would you call it? The
postponement.
I guess the postponement for till April 9th, 2021.
I'll second that motion.
Mr. Gomez, still open for comment?
It is. Go ahead, Mr. Allen.
Thank you. So there's no question that all businesses are greatly stressed across the country and certainly in our region with what's going on. And I agree with Supervisor Compton's remarks. They are challenged. The restaurant businesses are really at the top of the list in many ways as having many challenges. I'm concerned if one thing I've learned being on the city council for about 15 months is that it's not a perfect process by any means. Minds are changed. Things do happen. We're living in a world right now where the messages that we're getting, whether they're from Sacramento or Washington, D.C. or the county itself, are changing in a continual state of flux. It's a very challenging time. I would hate to step away from postponing, rather from not postponing this issue, because you know we voted differently a few weeks ago. Frankly, I don't think it's that onerous of an ordinance. I we're not hauling anybody off to jail. There are no major fines. There are no deadlines. There are no threats. If you don't do such and such by such and such date, we're going to pull your license. As far as notification, there have been 30 years of notifications. I would be hard pressed to find a restaurateur anywhere who doesn't understand that styrofoam is a product that people don't want to use anymore. It's bad for your health. It's bad for the environment. So I would, you know, it's going to be very hard for me to vote yes on this. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Heller.
May I make a
Mr.
comment?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Ms. Blake?
Yes, sir. That's me. I'd like to make a couple of comments here. I missed the March meeting, so this will be my first vote on this item. You know, I don't think there's any misconnection between commerce and public health. We have to satisfy both of them. And as much as I appreciate all of the emails that people sent me regarding this, it seems to me that if we change the expiration date on this, it's just one more conflicting instruction. PISMO is facing several problems with masks, as well as, I think, probably where all of the styrofoam has migrated and it's gone to PISMO. Is there any interest at all in changing the expiration date? I want to make sure that this resolution stays as if it were written in stone, so that we can't change it. But I would like to explore at least an earlier date than April next year. If there's any interest in that, I would be interested. But other than that, I want our cities to to try and deal with this. And the longer we wait, I think it's just not a good idea. So I'm planning on voting for the extension, but I'd sure like to know if anybody else has an interest in making it shorter than that. That's what I would say. Thanks.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, as noted, there are people that have kind of lobbied for a much shorter stay. There is a motion in the second, so once we get beyond the discussion portion, we'll have to move through that, and we'll have to see what that vote comes up with. If that is a passing vote, then we will have to go with it. If it is a non-passing vote, somebody can make another pass at creating something that will pass. So, anybody have any comments on the current item?
I think you called the question.
Right here, Mr. Oh.
I don't know who that is because I can't see the speaking. But
Mr. So. President, Karen Bright here, please.
Yeah.
Thank you. I am torn here between the previous vote, basically being consistent, as Mr. Gibson had discussed, and what I think is really what should be done. So I've lost my whole train of thought. I'm terribly sorry. Go to your next, please. Oh, goodness gracious. Sorry.
Okay. So if we don't have any questions on the current motion, then we will go ahead with roll call.
Debbie Arnold?
Yes.
Sheila Blake?
Yes.
Charles Verbeau?
Yes.
Karen Bright?
No.
Lynn Compton?
Yes.
Robert Enns? Bruce Gibson?
Yes.
John Hammond?
Aye.
Jeff Heller?
No.
Adam Hill? Sorry. John Pishong?
Yes.
Keith Storton?
No.
Aaron Gomez?
No.
That's seven ayes.
We are agreeing too much.
All right, so that item does pass. So we're on to the next item, item number 16. If you would like to introduce that, Mr. Stayer.
Yes, sir. So part of the discussion that was happening, can y'all see my screen?
We see you.
Okay. Jennifer, can you allow the screen sharing? Or did I need to select it?
We can see your screen now.
Okay, thank you. Okay, part of the discussion at the executive committee meeting last week was regarding the governor's suspension for 60 days of the state's plastic bag ban and fee. And so we wanted the executive committee to weigh in on that, and they decided to bring it forward to the board for consideration of whether we would have a similar action or we would do a public education campaign on carry-out bags. And as part of that discussion, there was also the idea that many restaurants and grocery stores are serving food, but most people are taking that food home. And so they are potentially giving in those bags plastic takeout utensils and lips, cups and lids, or condiments that people are just going to throw away because they have those items at home. So this is a two-part discussion. One is on the governor's 60-day ban of plastic bag ordinance and whether we want to follow suit with that, because I didn't mention that our ordinance preceded theirs, so the state ban does not affect us. And then the second part of the discussion is the takeout utensils or accessories that restaurants may be giving. So if I explain that well, I will turn it over to President Gomez.
Yeah, and I'll, we'll give you a little background from a sense of the executive board bringing this up, because we had had constituents come to us and from our various jurisdictions on both of these items. And therefore, we figured it's the best time to have this discussion and lump them into one single item, since they both do deal with single use. From a plastic utensil standpoint, the constituents that I've heard from were commenting that they're getting the utensils without wanting the utensils, therefore causing a fair amount of waste and not being able to take them back to, which in previous, prior to COVID, you could actually take utensils back to restaurants. Post-COVID, you cannot. So that was the issue around that. If anybody has any questions before we go to public comment, now would be the time.
Well, and President Gomez, if I could comment, we agreed to bring these two items forward because I wanted to bring forward the item on the plastic bag ban, because the governor's action, as well as the action of Thor's in our community, I think creates, some confusion as to what the status of our ordinance is. And because it was a pre-existing ordinance, it still is technically in effect, although in this situation, I certainly don't think we're taking any enforcement actions. I think it would be clearer to our businesses if we told them that our ordinance is suspended as long as the statewide ban is suspended. And then when the statewide ban is lifted, or the statewide ban is reimposed, then our ban would be imposed as well. That for the time being, I think it'd be confusing to our businesses. In particular, that they're being told one thing by the state, and we're not consistent with that. Even though we're not going to run around and enforce it right now, it just seems to me that ours is in suspended animation as well for the time. And on the unnecessary. Everybody gets a bunch of forks, spoons, and disposable packets of this, that, and the other thing that they didn't ask for. I don't want to put that in, any mandatory form. Again, I think our small businesses have enough to worry about. But I certainly think it'd be okay to encourage them not to provide.
Charles, we can't hear you when you turn your head away there.
I think it'd be good to encourage them not to provide those unnecessary things. But I don't want to put it in the form of of a mandatory thing, because again, I think they've got bigger fish to fry, bigger things to worry about right now.
So to further explain what Mr. Rubeau is talking about, in the executive meeting, it was commented by the public that we should do an upon request ordinance, which would mean that the restaurant itself would have to ask the customers whether or not they want these accessory items in their bag, similar to the, straws upon request. It is an item that technically saves restaurants money versus, cost them money. It is one of those easy to implement policies that has no impact, negative impact to a business. It's just a simple change of protocols. And reason being, again, we just went backwards on a polystyrene ban, which allows for greater creation of waste. This is another item with more and more people taking items to go, getting things that they don't want. It's just a simple shift of having people ask those questions. Doing an education campaign is great if you are educating them on something. Without an ordinance of some sort to show what they are being educated upon, I'm not sure what that campaign would do. So unless we have other comments from the board or questions from the board, we can open up to public comment.
Can I ask a question? The public can call into that number. Do they have to put the password in? Because I've had a couple people say they can't get through if the public wants to call in on anything today.
Yes, they do have to use the password that's on the agenda.
So they use it on the are you talking about on the first page of the agenda, the either one of those two dial-in numbers plus that same password?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Would you like
to? I think we're ready for public comment.
Okay, thank you.
And President Gomez, I'll just remind everyone that this is just a discussion item. There is no action requested of the board today.
Correct.
All right. For members of the public that are interested in providing public comments, please press star 9 if you are on your telephone. Or use the raise hand feature in the app. Barry, you should be unmuted.
Yes, Barry Ranz, San Luis Obispo. As much as I'd love to see the carryout bags still allowed to be used, it looks like the grocery stores themselves are afraid that they're going to contaminate something. And I don't think there's much we can do about that. But on the utensils, I think Mr. Gomez made a very good point that this is actually going to save businesses money if they don't have to shell out these useless utensils. And I, for one, really would urge the IWMA to institute a regulation that the businesses are required to ask customers if they want these items. I know just a couple days ago, I ordered takeout from a restaurant. I specifically asked them not to include the utensils. They included them anyways. So they're in the habit of just including this stuff. And we've got to somehow change that habit. And I think a regulation, it would help them, it would help the environment, it would help all of us if these utensils were only on demand. Thank you.
Thank you.
Can I just make a comment that I'm having people text me that they can't get through with a password? So I know evidently some people are getting through, but I've had two separate people text me that they can't get through with the password. If it says rejecting the password.
And they're using the password for the regular meeting and not the executive committee meeting?
I don't know. I'm trying to go back and forth and pay attention to the meeting. Why don't you read off the number again to call and the password, because two separate people have texted me and said the password doesn't work.
Okay, I'll read it right now.
And maybe put it on the screen if you can or something.
I don't have it. No. Okay. Yes. Okay, I can do that. Hold on one second. Is that showing the password? It should be showing the agenda and the number and password should be highlighted.
Yes, it is.
Okay, thank you. Supervisor Compton, when you have finished.
Oh, it's not for me. It's people that are evidently watching this meeting, and they're saying that the password, the comments are, it's rejecting the password. I just texted two people back, try again, it's on the screen. But
I see. Okay.
I know some people are getting through, but I've had two separate people text me they can't get through. And one was during the last discussion, and now on this separate agenda item.
And this is Brooks. I just tried the 669 number and the password, and it said it was invalid as well. I'm going to try the 346 now.
I'm going to try to see if I can.
So I probably should have said something during the last discussion because somebody did contact me during the last one, but I just thought maybe they misdialed or something.
I just tried the second number and it's telling me that meeting ID does not exist.
Hmm.
Is there a capacity issue that it fills up after so many users?
No. But I'm wondering if the meeting was scheduled for 2 hours or something and they passed the 2 hours. Although if it was in the previous discussion, then that doesn't really make sense. Because that was within the 2 hours.
Yeah, it was in the previous discussion. One of the calls and one of them right now.
So where does that put us from a legal standpoint if people can no longer connect with this meeting?
I think heard.
President Gomez, it's not ideal. Because people are not able to participate, that is limiting, and it sounds like that's what's happening.
You can't have a meeting without public comment.
Right.
So in that circumstance, do we simply just adjourn the meeting and postpone what was on the remainder onto the next?
I would suggest you do that. If the public is not able to participate.
I do currently have 4 members of the public that would like to make a public comment. I'm not sure if you would like to take that public comment before you adjourn or not. But
So that's my question. Why are there some people able to make public comment?
Probably because they were already on at the beginning of the meeting. There's probably something that during the meeting.
Well, maybe the last person that texted me before, they did misdial, and now, since it's not taking any calls, then it just stopped working after a certain time frame. So everybody that called before, you know, we know whatever the last call is, then today, that's when the cutoff was, obviously.
President Gomez, I will tell you that on the prior item, I did see there was public comment made through the telephone and not just through Zoom. But I would say probably... In the because we know members of the public cannot get on right now, well, we probably should. I would say you could take public comment from those with their current hands raised, but I would say we can't continue if members of the public can't get on to comment.
So I actually did just have a new member join or a new attendee join with a phone number, but they left right away, so I'm not sure what that was, but.
Maybe when one gets off, a new one can get on. It only has a certain capacity.
Well, we had 24 attendees earlier, and it was fine, and we're down to 13 right now. So I don't think that it's that. I'm sure. There are other telephone numbers that can be found on the Zoom website, but I'm not sure that would fix it either. I'm at a loss right now.
Let's take the remaining public comment, and then we will adjourn after this item. Or after this, after their comment.
Okay. All right. Maydai or Maddie, you should be unmuted.
Yeah, it's me. Yeah, I know that nothing is being ordered or anything or voted on today when it comes to supplying utensils upon request, but I would like to say that I think a lot of restaurant workers are already pretty used to doing that with straws, and it would probably go over really easily to just add utensils onto that list because we're already used to it. Also, it could save businesses small amounts of money. I don't really see the point not to do that. I think that is something you guys should pursue. Even if, like, you know, you're not going to enforce it in the way of, like, oh, God, people are getting arrested for not doing it. It's like, why not, you know?
Thank you.
Thank you. And I do have a telephone caller on the line, so I just want to encourage the person on the telephone to stay on the line, and I will unmute them when I get to them, and I'll check to see if they would like to participate in public comment. Right now, we'll move on to Craig.
Hello, can I make a quick comment before you start the timer? It's regarding the difference between the Zoom participation and the call-in is probably where the issue is, board members, so I appreciate that and the sensitivity. Also, we have two items in number 16, which means we get roughly a minute and a half on each item. Can that be separated for each item?
I mean, not really, because it's both. I mean, it was lumped into one item as an overall discussion if we want to take future policy decisions. Right now, it's just a discussion item to cover both of them.
Okay, so I'll try to fit this in within the time. Regarding the bags, it's very clear that the governor's order did not apply to local ordinances, and if you look at the detail of that order, it had nothing to do with the health issues. I was prevented from using my reusable bags recently. I know where they've been. I know they're clean, and I walked out of the store with plastic bags, which COVID lasts 72 hours or more on plastics. I may have brought COVID into my home because of what the store did. Stores are doing their own thing, and that was a grocery workers' union request. If you look at the information I've sent, the California Grocers Association says nothing about harmful COVID-19 being from reusable bags. Sonoma County does not recognize that. The Cal OSHA has guidelines for reusable bags. So I strongly encourage the board to not change anything with the bag ban. There are 151 in the state.
Enter your participant ID. You have joined the meeting as an attendee and will be.
That's not coming from me.
No, I'm sorry.
Where was I? Oh, yeah, the bag bans, let's not move on that. I think we don't want to add the single-use trash to the environment. And if you look at the governor's order, it has nothing to do with health. It was because there was a bag shortage and also to try to lift the 10-cent fee. Regarding the upon request, that actually saves businesses money. And to my understanding, and this may be from the California Retail Food Code, you cannot return these disposable utensils legally to a restaurant before COVID and after COVID. I have a drawer full of them, and those have to go in the trash because they are never recycled. So I encourage the upon request item to come perhaps as an ordinance or amendment. It's good for businesses. It's good for the consumer who gets these things and is irritated because they don't want them. And it's good for the environment. So leave the bag ban in and for future discussion. And also do consider the upon request ordinance. That's pro-business, pro-environment, win-win all the way around. I appreciate the board's consideration. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jennifer, before you start the next public comment,
there's a typo in the password. It's missing the two. It should be 986-346-28736. That's why people can't get in.
Okay.
All right, so that just creates a whole new issue. We just had an entire meeting with a public notice with a error on.
How did some people call in? How did we get people called in before? If it's
some people came in on Zoom.
So yeah. You're saying all the Zoom calls came in, but Jennifer, I thought you said there were some phone calls that came in.
Yes, I have a caller on as an attendee right now.
If you look at the line above where it has the password, it has the ID there as well. They may have been looking at that line. When I called in, I accidentally looked at that line to type it in, and I was able to get in.
Yeah, you can see the difference.
That's the eyes of an accountant right there.
Yes, thank you for that. We do have one more member, or one more, and then the telephone call for public comment. I will wait for direction, President.
Yeah, I mean, I'm no legal expert on this scenario, so we can take the last public comment and then discuss this.
Please do.
Okay.
Janine, you should be unmuted.
Hi, yes, this is Janine, and I'm actually from San Luis Obispo. A week ago, we stopped in at Dinosaur Cave Park and walked down all the way around. And this trash cans were all full, except a few up by the closer to the road. And this one guy was had a plastic bag, and he was unloading his. And it was like he had a whole wad of napkins, restaurant napkins, in a plastic bag, and then he was offloading cutlery and other stuff that he didn't want. We were working on a plastic bag ordinance just a few months ago, and of course with all of this, it's all been shut down. With everybody using plastic bags, where are they going to go? There is no recycling, so those things are just going straight out. I put them with my head hanging into my garbage. So that's going to be a big problem. The whole issue of us getting plastic straws and cutlery just thrown in our bags and our takeout makes absolutely no sense when we all have drawers of cutlery, stainless steel in our cupboards. We don't use a straw here at our house, so just getting it thrown in our bag, going to landfill. When we had a county IWMA plastic or a straw ordinance, and so what has happened to that? Has it just people have completely lost sense and responsibility, and they're just giving them out? So what has happened to that ordinance, and can't we just have a new however you send emails out to businesses that we just going to stop this nonsense. Stop this waste. I should say waste, not nonsense. So let's work on reinstating the ordinance that we have at the IWMA for straws upon request. Thank you.
Is that the last public comment, or we have one more?
We have one person that joined us on the telephone recently.
Okay.
Hi, actually, this is technical support. The phone number on the screen is correct with the correct code. The two was missing from the Zoom password.
Thank you,
sir. But the phone on the screen and the password on the screen are currently correct. Thank you.
Thank you.
And so quickly, I'll just comment to Ms. Rand's question because it'll give people some clarity. The county does not, or the IWMA does not have a straws upon request ordinance, we drafted the language for a straws upon request for cities to adopt. And some cities have adopted that, but the county itself did not. And that does not include to-go items. So considering most of these things that people are getting, well, I would say all of these things that people are getting are to-go items, in which case they are allowed to put straws in those bags. So back to the legal issue of the meeting.
In regards to where we are now, it's unclear to me. It sounds like from technical support, they're saying that the password was correct. Is that what I'm hearing? But it also sounds like there's two passwords on the agenda. One's correct and one's not. Jennifer, is that right?
Yes. In the place where the password was next to the phone number, it was incorrect, which is the place where you really needed it.
Yes. So is it possible someone could say that this meeting was conducted in violation of the Brown Act because they couldn't call in? Potentially that could happen. I would say certainly at this point it would probably make sense to adjourn the last two items in abundance of caution.
Okay. Well, under that circumstances, we will not carry forward with any discussion on these items, and we will adjourn to our next IWMA scheduled meeting for next month. I don't have the dates in front of me. They are...
Point of order, Mr. Chairman, if I could ask a question. The next item is the interim budget. Do we need to have a special meeting, or will the organization be able to continue to limp along until...
Can I address that? The next meeting is June 18th, and we can just have that meeting. And I think we can, if the board passes what we're suggesting, which is just to carry forward last year's budget, we would be fine.
Got it. Thank you.
I think Supervisor Arnold looked like she was trying to say something, but she was muted.
I think she disappeared.
She left.
She was reaching at the
Maybe
screen.
Maybe she was trying to tell her that she was leaving. based on the fact that we can't have any more discussion anyways, but let's adjourn the meeting and we will reconduct this on June 18th. Meeting adjourned.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you, everyone.
Thank you all.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Mr. Chairman, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Can you just recap for me, please? What happens now? The regular agenda, the business items that we voted on, have they now become moot and we start all over again in June?
Well, they haven't currently, but somebody, as said by our counsel, there could be a Brown Act violation complaint, and then it would have to be investigated. Currently, there is not.
So, okay. So, assuming
that... wait and see.
Okay. Well, assuming then that nobody complains, we had item 14, which passed with a yes vote, and then we had item 15, which did not pass. Is that correct?
No, it did pass.
So it did.
Basically, nothing has changed since our March 23rd meeting.
Okay. All right.
Yeah,
okay.
Those who voted yes meant basically to keep it as was. Those who voted no was to relook at the item, but the yes votes did carry.
Yeah. Well, okay. Thanks. And we are now adjourned, right?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you very much. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.